I find this next subject fascinating because when we talk about Parkinson's and we talk about motor neurone disease, talk about brain cancer, things to do with the brain, there's so much that we don't know. One thing we do know is there are more and more treatments for things like Parkinson's in particular. And this week we're talking again to one of the great professionals from the Sydney Adventist Hospital. We do this regularly. They're one of our sponsors, and the Sydney Adventist Hospital harnesses the latest scientific advancements in health, giving you the attention, respect and care you deserve. That is the whole person healthcare. It is a great institution, the Sydney Adventist Hospital, known as the SAN. In relation to Parkinson's in particular, they've got this deep brain stimulation which they offer there. It's one of the best treatments available to deal with Parkinson's, and it does mean that it can be stabilised. It's something that's been working out for quite a while. It's a very, very sophisticated way of dealing with Parkinson's. And so we're going to talk to a neurosurgeon. He's the clinical professor, Dr. Brian Aller from the SAN. I spoke to him about this earlier this evening.
Good evening.
All right, how do we get a simple explanation of what deep brain stimulation involves?
Pretty much as it says, we're stimulating a part of the brain that is very deep down from the surface of the skull. It's a very small area. It's only really a sort of a centimetre by a couple of millimetres wide. But these areas are very key in controlling movements. And, of course, conditions such as Parkinson's disease are characteristically movement disorders, which result in tremor, slowness of movement, and also stiffness of the body. And if we stimulate these areas of the brain, we interrupt some of the neural pathways that then allow people to function and move much more normally, and they really can be life-changing.
Because I know people who've been diagnosed, I've known people over the years, and in that period, there are medications and methods to try and stabilise what's happening. So with this is quite sophisticated, I imagine, because it involves surgery and getting into that area you've just described?
Yeah, that's right. So for many people, obviously medication is the first line of treatment, and what tends to happen, unfortunately, Parkinson's for a lot of patients is a progressive condition and does tend to worsen over time. And increasingly, patients find that the medication duration, that is, time it lasts for, and the effectiveness can wane. And they often end up either freezing, so they just can't move, or the medication induces side effects, which is called dyskinesia, where you end up having extra movements. And so they have a very narrow therapeutic window. So when we do deep brain stimulation, we're really trying to increase that therapeutic window and reduce their medications and allow them to function normally. And to do it, you're right, it is complicated, and it's an operation where you're really trying to get these electrodes into a very small area of the brain. And so it's all about accuracy and making sure it's in exactly the right spot, which is why the operation's done awake, so that when we introduce these electrodes down to the brain, we can, first of all, record from the area to know we're in the right spot, and we can hear the sound of the nerve cells in the operating theatre, and that confirms where we are. And then we can test stimulate the brain, so we can introduce a small electrical current, and we can see, first of all, that there's a benefit, but also see if there's any side effects from the stimulation. And that way we can confirm, that we're in the right area and that the treatment's going to be successful.
You've described something quite remarkable there. So you're saying that your device goes in and it can actually record so you could hear the nerves. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we record from various parts of the brain, and as we introduce the electrode down, we can know we're coming into, usually it's what we call the subthalamic nucleus, or STN, which is our target for stimulation. We can hear the characteristic sound of the nerve cells and even move various parts of the arm and see what the response of those cells is to that movement. And that allows us to know that we're in this STN. As I said, we can then test stimulate, and we know that those electrodes are in the right spot. Once they're in the right spot, we can then lock them into position, close up the wounds, and we take off the apparatus, the frame that the patient sits in while they have this procedure, and then we can implant. It's like a pacemaker, essentially, that sits just underneath the skin.
Yeah.
That's the device that delivers the currents in the long term.
Oh, so that's there all the time. You're not going in and just doing some stimulation. It's actually there for a long period of time.
It's for the rest of their life.
Wow, okay, yep.
It's like a little pacemaker box. It just delivers a small electrical current. There's different types of devices that we use. Some need their battery replaced every, 4 years or so, which is a pretty simple procedure. But other devices are actually rechargeable that can stay in there for 15 years and just get recharged, a bit like you charge, a phone by putting it on a pad.
Yeah. I know we've talked to some of the people from the SAND there about the use of robotics. Is this done manually? Is it all done manually still?
I'm the robot, I'm afraid. So.
You're the robot, okay.
So still done manually, but the patient sits in a frame that attaches to the skull so that it's all we can reliably get down to where we know the target is. And it all looks a little bit, confronting. But it always amazes me how well patients actually tolerate having the frame put on. Obviously, we give local anaesthetic and all of those sorts of things. But they actually, they're incredibly brave. They sit through us making the hole in the skull, and they sit through the whole process. We talk and interact with them the whole time that they're having the procedure done. But, patients, from all walks of life, actually tolerate the procedure very well.
Wow, okay. And can you give us, every person, I guess, is different. Can you give us a generic impression of what people typically might be like before and after?
Well, a lot of patients beforehand are experiencing these severe motor fluctuations. So, they're freezing and then they're getting this extra dyskinesias. They've got timers on their watch to deliver their medication, every couple of hours, and there's a whole range of medications they have to take. So the whole life revolves around it. Out of all the patients that I treat, I treat lots of different conditions.
Yes.
I've got to say that the patients for whom I've treated with DBS, mostly for Parkinson's, they are some of the happiest patients that we treat. And the reason for that is that, it's not a cure for their condition, but it's about quality of life. And there are little things that, it's like being able to go to a restaurant and be confident that the medication's not going to wear off, that they're not going to get the extra movements. But even, at night time, things that we take for granted, like rolling over in bed at night and changing positions, they don't have to wake their partner up to give them a shove to roll them over. They can do these things themselves. So, to us that sounds like a really minor thing, but to these patients, they're life-changing.
That's it is remarkable. And for you, I guess the long-term issue would be one day to be able to find some way to cure Parkinson's, but to be able to provide this kind of transformation for these people, as you say, for them it would be remarkable, must be very satisfying.
No, it is satisfying. And, above my desk in my office sits a model boat that was made by a patient who was an engineer, and that was his hobby, was making these, quite beautiful little model boats. And, he gave that to me. He was the first patient that we operated on Westmead about 17 years ago, and it sits above my desk, and I can point to patients and tell them, the story, because he was able to get back to doing that sort of very fine work, and it served him well over a long period of time.
Yeah. All right. So DBS, as you call it, it's used by you there, and it's just not you. You've got psychiatrists involved, neurologists, and nurses as well, nurse specialists who've got to look after people in these situations.
So there's only a few centres that can do it, and one of the reasons it's not so much the surgery. I mean, the surgery is you've got to have some experience in doing it, but there's a whole team that's involved, particularly the neurologists that help us with targeting. We've got some really world-class neurologists that can help us with this surgery and look after patients here. It is a team with our DBS nurse as well that just specialises in helping patients with Parkinson's and other movement disorders such as essential tremor as well that can be treated with DBS. But that whole team, there's a lot of workup that we do to test patients to make sure that they're going to be good responders. There's some medication challenges that we do. We do some neuropsychological evaluation. So it's a bit of a pathway to make sure that patients are, you know, are going to benefit, because we want to make sure that people get the best out of it, and to make sure that they're ready for the procedure as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I know, and it was a few years ago, because I remember growing up and hearing about electric shock therapy, and it had had quite a stigma associated with it. And then I asked some questions and realised that electro stimulation is not only still used, but it's very, very useful and very, very positive. Is that something people initially go, oh, is that what you're going to do? They ask that question?
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's a very different treatment, but, you know, it's been around for a while, and I think people have seen, you know, sometimes documentaries of people having DBS surgery. You know, it is a tried and trusted method, and as I said, very effective for patients, and you know, I think life-changing for many patients.
Yeah, well, it must be one of the satisfying things to see someone's life change. One day, hopefully, we'll be on here talking about a cure or a real breakthrough that's been discovered. But in this instance where we are today, this is something that makes people's lives, having known people involved with Parkinson's, remarkable. Yeah. So thank you so much for your time tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Brian Aller there, who's a neurosurgeon there with the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and just that pleasure he gets from helping people.